Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Velocity of Content. It's Friday, January 15th, 2021. Every week we check in with Publishers Weekly for the latest news and analysis on books and publishing. Andrew Albanese, PW Senior Writer, joins me today. Welcome back to the program, Andrew.
Hey there, Chris.
So last week for our first show of 2021, Andrew, we looked back on the year before, and it turns out 2020 was a surprisingly good one for the book business. This week, let's look ahead. How are people feeling about 2021?
You know, it's been a bit of a dramatic start, right, to 2021. You know, all the leading indicators, unemployment are sort of trending up, and the COVID infections and deaths, unfortunately, are trending up. And, you know, we had an insurrection at the Capitol, which is never good for confidence, I think, for people. But, you know, a personal observation is that 2021 is probably not going to be a let's get back to normal year, like I think we'd all hoped it would be, for many reasons. And the first of which is because publishers have told us as much, right? You know, we already know, for example, that the major New York publishers have already made plans to continue remote work for as many employees as they can until July in most cases. And that decision was made towards the end of 2020, towards the end of last year. And I don't think we're going to have anything approaching a normal book fair season, right? You know, we do have shows that are online. There's an outside shot that we may see a show come off in London or Bologna in June, and the outside shot that Frankfurt will pull off a scaled back physical show, but it's not looking good right now. You know, and at the end of last week, I did a short item on a 50-page report by a team of veteran industry consultants that sort of explored the impact of COVID-19 on the book publishing market. And you can check out that story now, which links to the report. The report is called COVID-19 and Book Publishing Impacts and Insights for 2021. Like I said, it's a free report, 50 pages. And it's interesting because it goes beyond the trade book selling sector. And it looks at the broader social and economic changes that the pandemic has wrought, as well as offering insights on, you know, all of the sectors of the book business, you know, K-12 and higher education, digital media, and even the library market. And what that report makes clear, rightly, I think, is that 2021 is shaping up to be the year when we really start to wrestle with the long-term implications of the pandemic. 2020 was all about sort of getting through it and finding workarounds. But it's not going to be like flipping a switch and just going back to the old days, right? You know, you don't go through a year of being forced to do things differently and not come away with a sense of, hey, we could do things differently. So, you know, indeed, I think the conclusion of the authors of this report come to, and they ask the right question here, is what are we going to learn? You know, when publishers finally lift their heads and survey the surrounding landscape in 2021 and beyond, what are things going to look like? And we just don't really know.
Well, Andrew, I have recorded an interview with Thad McElroy, a co-author of that report. It'll run later this month on this program. And I asked Thad about this very point. What are publishers learning? And for one thing, he told me about taking lessons from the video game industry. As you look around, is there a definitive answer to that question?
Well, Tad is terrific. And I'm glad that you've got that interview done. And I think he's right that you should look around to all the adjacent industries to publishing for some sort of guidance. But I'm not really sure what we're learning, at least not in any specific sense right now. You know, the report notes that despite all the changes, you know, the economy is forecast to grow in 2021, even amid considerable hardship and uncertainty. And I think, you know, with Democrats now controlling all branches of the government, a lot of us are sort of expecting that things won't be so crazy anymore, that we'll get a better government response to the pandemic. But until the pandemic is behind us, and Tad and the other authors note this in the report, there's just no real predicting how things are going to go. But one of the key findings that I'll go back to in the report is, you know, the need for publishers to rethink their digital strategies. And I think that's absolutely right. You know, after years of sort of treating digital like a threat, publishers are now seeing that, hey, digital, whether it's digital reading, ebooks, et cetera, or digital fulfillment through online sales, you know, it is central, more central to their businesses than they thought or perhaps wanted it to be. Now, this does not mean that print books are endangered. We're not going to go back to that old conversation about print being dead. But let's be clear. Print has held on and has even shown growth in recent years because publishers have pursued a strategy to keep print strong. And if the obvious move now is to focus on growing digital and to taking full advantage of digital, well, that's going to come with a lot of uncertainty across the book business for a lot of different sectors.
And indeed, Andrew, uncertainty is the focus of a report in Monday's PW by correspondent Alex Green. He surveyed indie booksellers and found them wary of what the future holds.
Yeah, absolutely. Great report by Alex Green in Monday's issue. And you know, we touched on this in conjunction last week. I think we were talking about the New York Times article last week. And I had argued that, you know, we really shouldn't focus too much on the strong sales of 2020. Of course, it's better than the alternative. We're happy to have strong sales. But the real story is that, you know, the success that publishers and Amazon saw was not shared equally across the industry. You know, if you're a big five publisher or Amazon, you did very well. But indie booksellers definitely are facing some struggles. And Alex Green spoke to a number of them and got emails and other survey reports from a number of store owners and managers from across the country. And indeed, there is widespread concern about what's going to happen next. Now, the good news is that the survey suggests that the losses the indie booksellers felt in 2020 were significant, but not as deep as you might have thought. And online sales also, on the other side of this, online sales for indie booksellers surged to unprecedented levels. For example, in the report, Alex cites, you know, the Queen Anne Book Company in Seattle. Its online sales went from 5% of its business before the pandemic to 70% during the year of 2020. 70% of sales were e-commerce sales. But here's the thing, that can't last forever, right? Ordering books online from your local bookstore and then going and picking it up at the store, let's be honest, that's not where the local bookstore adds its value, right? The value of your indie bookseller is being able to go to the bookstore, you know, and have it be part of the community and seeing people and browsing the shelves. So to change from that model where the bookstore is an anchor in the community to an online model where you're fulfilling orders online, well, that's an entirely different thing. So in the end, you wind up in direct competition with Amazon, too, which can always underprice you. So I question how sustainable that is. You know, for a pandemic year, too, I think customers were happy to support their local indie bookshops. But for how much longer can you rely on that goodwill? And as this new normal starts to set in, what does that mean for indie bookstores who have done the hard work to survive the pandemic and now face the prospect of a changed post-pandemic world?
And so what do booksellers need then, Andrew? What might help them move forward with a little bit more confidence?
Well, frankly, a lot of it is tied up in politics, you know, and this is a point many of us have made in 2020, that small business owners, you know, restaurants and bars and booksellers have sort of been hung out to dry. You know, I think it's a national scandal, if I'm being honest. You know, we've asked small businesses to close their doors, to change their businesses, and more unfairly, we've asked them to risk their lives to stay open and to basically police public safety at the same time by requiring customers wear masks and limiting contact and social distancing and capping the number of customers that can come into a store. And they've done all this. And they've done all this without proper support from government. That's my own two cents here. I don't think there's a lot of dispute about that, though. Main Street businesses in our economy are getting hammered while online businesses are thriving, and it's just not right. For example, Amazon has posted enormous profits during this pandemic, and that's not been lost on indie booksellers. And many are clamoring, and this is borne out in Alex's report, many are clamoring for the new administration to start looking at some action to address the company's dominance in the book business. And other booksellers note that urgent action is needed to create fair public assistance programs on the state and local level to help independent businesses and, of course, other small businesses too. Booksellers tell PW that they remain determined. You know, they love what they do. They want to keep serving their communities. But suffice it to say, all of this makes for a very uncertain 2021.
We talked a little last week about things we lost in 2020, but this week we can talk a little bit about what we might gain in 2021. We lost Book Expo late last year when Reed Exhibitions retired the show, but just last week, Publishers Weekly announced a new U.S. book show set for this May. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, good news indeed. Publishers Weekly did announce that we are launching a new American Publishing Trade Fair. It's going to be called U.S. Book Show, at least for now. And the debut event will run virtually online from May 26th to 28th. And it's going to be a program focused on booksellers and librarians and publishers and literary agents from across the world. And we're planning about 5 hours of programming a day to start, as well as a number of other features. You know, as you note, the news comes in the wake of, you know, the closure of Book Expo, which was announced in December. And when that happened, we obviously spoke to a lot of people across the industry. And the loss of a New York-based American trade book fair kind of left a void in the U.S. publishing industry that we felt Publishers Weekly could step in and fill. So we're going to run this fair virtually for the first year. I'm sure we're going to have a virtual component for years in the future, but we're going to use a proprietary digital format that's going to facilitate online exhibitors, presentations, and networking. And the good news is, from this last year, we've gotten pretty good at doing these virtual shows. So even when a physical show, if a physical show manages to come back swiftly, I think virtual is always going to be a component. In addition to the educational programming, there's going to be Book Buzz and Galleys to Grab author events, programming aimed at librarians and booksellers. And the programming series are really going to sort of discuss the state of the industry. And that's no doubt, as we were just discussing, going to have a lot to do with how we move forward from the COVID-19 pandemic.
And Publishers Weekly does have some experience here. Your team organized the New York Writes Fair in 2018. And while the 2021 U.S. Book Show will be virtual to start, I'm guessing you hope there will be an in-person component to the show at some point.
Yeah, that certainly is the hope. You know, we talked a little bit about this at the end of 2020 when Book Expo announced it was shutting down. And speaking to stakeholders, we found that most industry stakeholders appreciate the ability to get everyone together. And, you know, they would support an annual event that unifies the industry, provides networking, allows, you know, certain sectors to interact with authors and learn about forthcoming big titles. And just to make those one-to-one connections, especially booksellers and librarians, we know really appreciated that. And there's other shows that can do that as well. But again, to have us all under one roof, I think is kind of an important thing. I think it's no secret that the huge production that was Book Expo had, to put it politely, sort of lost its luster over the years. And I think we have a chance for a do-over here, you know, sort of to right-size the show, to work with stakeholders to organize and host a show that we as an industry can all support. And what we've heard is that, you know, sort of a Javits Center size, huge, gargantuan show with these big booths, that's a bygone era. And we at PW don't have to return a profit to shareholders, right? We're not Reed. Our aim is to serve the industry. So we're going to try to keep the pricing low. We want more participation. We want to be able to connect participants from across the full spectrum of the industry. That's small presses and mid-size imprints and university presses and sideline producers, distributors, librarians and library data providers, and of course the large publishers as well. And even self-publishing. There will be a self-published authors. They're going to have their own dedicated track of events that are going to cater to their needs specifically. So it's going to be a busy start to the year. May is right around the corner, so stay tuned for more information about this upcoming event.
All right, then. And thank you, Andrew Albany's Publishers Weekly Senior Writer, for joining me today and every Friday on Velocity of Content.
My pleasure, as always.
Coming up on the next podcast from CCC, in the coronavirus pandemic, millions of workers have retreated to safety and isolation found in working from home. Even for those able to return to offices, social distancing practices and virtual meetings have profoundly changed the global workplace. In December, a CCC Town Hall program examined the surprising ways remote work is remaking work. Organizations are recognizing there will be lasting impacts on people and operations, even when the new normal ends. Dr. Tracy Brower is a work environment sociologist and a principal with the Applied Research and Consulting Group at Steelcase. In a world that relies more every day on technology, she said, maintaining strong human relationships is a critical survival technique.
We have so much need to infuse empathy. That is the human component that AI cannot replace for us. And I love to think about AI not just as artificial intelligence, but augmented intelligence. AI is about coming alongside the uniquenesses of what we bring as humans and doing potentially more of the rote, more of the routine, more of the work that is routinized. And that gives us an opportunity to raise our purpose, to raise our value, and to think about how we bring those connections, how we really bring an opportunity to think in a more sophisticated way, in a way that brings in nuance. That is part of what we do uniquely as humans, is we can weigh nuances and we can think about those vital social connections in decision-making and in the way we get our work done.
The human touch for working from home. Up next on Velocity of Content. Our co-producer and recording engineer is Jeremy Briskey of Burst Marketing. You can subscribe to the program wherever you go for podcasts and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. I'm Christopher Keneally. Thanks for listening, and join us again soon for another Velocity of Content podcast from CCC.